My name is Jenny Williamson, and I'm the founder and CEO of Courage Worldwide. And we are an organization that builds homes for minor children rescued out of sex trafficking. We currently have two homes right now, one in Northern California and one in Tanzania, Africa. We have an incredible vision, enormous vision, to engage 1 million people during the next 10 years to build 1,000 homes in 100 cities and countries around the world so that hundreds of thousands of children can be set free. And I wanted to talk today about the need for such a home, and specifically today with minor children here in the United States and abroad. We opened our home 4 years ago, and we have children from the ages of 12 to 17. We've had kids from all over the United States come to the Safe House location in Northern California. And it's just been very interesting being involved with the kids, but then also watching what is happening across the nation. There have been homes that have opened and closed within the same year. There's been homes that have raised, or groups that have raised money trying to open a home, and after, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent, have never been able to open. It's kind of frightening, if you will, thinking about opening a home for these kids, because it is so more intense than any of us knew in the beginning. I think one of those reasons is when we say a home, we think of our homes. There's mom and a dad, brothers and sisters, and we're going to school and going to work and taking care of each other. And so this mentality of a home makes it all sound very simple. But the reality of what we are doing at Courage House and what we are doing with these children is running a mental health treatment facility. Now, that sounds a lot scarier and a lot bigger. I think if somebody would have told me in the beginning that's what I was going to be doing, I would have run for the hills, scared to death, because I have no qualifications to run a mental health treatment facility. But what we began to realize with children who have been trafficked for sex is that they have a lot of mental health issues. They need a lot of intensive therapy. And what we've learned is an hour of talk therapy just doesn't work with a highly traumatized 14-year-old, a kid that has been repeatedly raped and sold for sex. Many of these kids don't even have the ability with words to talk about what happened to them. And so what we came to learn and understand is every day, every hour has to be therapeutic. But it's art therapy and music therapy and equine therapy and recreation therapy and group therapy. And then eventually there's an ability to have talk therapy. But it's intensive 7-day-a-week therapeutic model is what Courage House is. And because of that, we've had incredible, incredible results with our kids. We've also started noticing trends with our kids. Our girls who have come to live at Courage House from 0 to 6 months, if they don't stay any longer than 6 months, almost 90% of them have gone back to perpetrators and exploiters. But that statistic has totally changed after 6 months. Because of that, we now have a requirement of a minimum stay of 12 months. So when we're dealing with placement workers, so whether it's social workers or someone from juvenile justice and probation or even a parent, we have that minimum 12-month stay because we are seeing such incredible results from that 6-month, 9-month, 12-month time frame, as all their new skills, that their coping skills, their healing, their ability to access both the right and left side of their brain with memories and emotions, it totally changes after 6 months. So because of all that, because of the last 4 years, that experience, we have become such a believer and proponent and champion and voice, whatever you want to say, for this long-term residential care for children who have been trafficked and exploited. But we're sometimes alone with that voice. Across the United States, there's a continuum of care within child welfare, within the foster care systems, of wanting to do away with all group home care in the United States. California is leading out in that and is making some really strong strides to get that changed. But I was just in Texas and in Mississippi and visiting with other states, and we're hearing the exact same thing, that the move is going toward no long-term group home care and putting all children straight from the traumatized situation into a foster home, or what they're now calling therapeutic foster homes. The therapeutic foster home model means that the family would get additional funding and additional training. And the argument is that if you train the families and give them some additional financial resources, that they'll be able to take care of this kid. And we just want to enter into this conversation, not as experts, not as saying we know it all, but just offering the 4 years of experience that we've had in living with this population 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for the last 4 years. And on top of that, I have a very personal story. It goes back even 5 years for me, where my husband and I adopted two girls who have a history of being trafficked and were very well trained. I was the most well trained person I know about the issue of traffic and the trauma that these kids have gone through. But it's a totally different thing knowing about something, being trained in something, and then the ability to be available every single day, 24 hours a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for these kids when they have mental health issues and symptoms that we all know is post-traumatic stress disorder, disassociation, fractures, anger issues. What happened to me on a personal level of bringing children into my home was that I physically, mentally, and emotionally could not provide all they needed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that's I have that personal story of experiencing what it's like to love a child and having room in your home, room in your heart, but not having the ability to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and be a mom, and go to work, and be a wife. It was a full-time job. And so that's what we've seen with the girls that we brought into Courage House, is that there is a period of time, and it's a minimum of 12 months, and we have girls that have stayed with us as long as 24 months based on their needs. We don't have a graduation date. We don't have a template. Healing doesn't have that. But our treatment team makes that assessment of when children have stabilized enough to be successful in a home. So what we are proponents of, what we are in favor of, is a long-term residential care facility like a Courage House, where a child comes straight from the traumatic situation. I like to think of it as a critical care unit or a stabilization phase. I talk about a lot about mental health treatment facility, but please understand, when you walk through the door, it's just a gorgeous home. It looks like anybody's home, except it's in a rural setting and it's on a ranch, and there's Labrador retrievers and horses and wide open spaces and ponds and kayaks and zip lines and trails and all kinds of ability to be active in wide open spaces. And it's just a place where healing is accelerated. But we run three shifts a day with staff, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's Christmas and Thanksgiving. The kids experience a home and a family, but the staff is very well trained in complex trauma, in the symptoms of this complex trauma. And there's always one adult for every two kids on all three shifts, and somebody's awake all night long. That is what is required for these kids who have been abused and sold and trafficked and exploited. It takes more than just a mom and dad's love. is what we have found and in our experience. And so we're a proponent of this long-term mental health treatment center, if you will, that looks and feels like a home, where every single day there are different modalities of trauma therapy that they experience, whether it's music or art or equine or recreation, along with their one-on-one, that enables them to stabilize their emotions, be able to mainstream into school situations, learn to have healthy relationships, and in providing this stabilization, everyone talks about the runaway risk with this population. When we started to dial in this minimum stay of 12 months in daily therapy, we have not had a runaway attempt in over 24 months, except for, I believe, one instance. It was 6 or 9 months ago with a child who had just been with us for a month. So we have found that this increased therapy has reduced that fight or flight. We haven't had violent incidents. We haven't had girls acting out on each other, all when we intensified this therapy. And as a mom, and as most families out there, we don't have the ability or the resources or the training to be able to offer that. So what we found is, after being in this stabilization phase, if you will, this very intensive treatment time in a family environment, first of all, the girls become family. They literally become sisters. They bond with the staff. They are learning, in addition to coping with their trauma, of just how to be successful in a family and what healthy relationships are, because most of them have never experienced that. So from the beginning of the girls' stay at Courage House, while we have those 3 shifts a day of staff members, we also have an army of volunteers that we have trained, certified, background check, that are equal to our staff. So say we have 15 paid staff, we have another 20 or 25 volunteers every single month at Courage House, and we just have 6 girls. Again, that's why we fight so hard for this type of care, because families just don't have the resources to provide what these kids need in the beginning. Now, of course, all these kids want a home. Most of the kids that come to Courage House aren't going to be reunited with family. We've had several girls who've been able to do that, and that's very exciting. But most of the children that we have seen, parents' rights have already been terminated, so they're not going home. So we believe it's part of our responsibility, and part of what we do is to match these kids up with a family. So this army of volunteers that come in, the 20 to 25 people we have every month, are building relationships with the girls. They're being trained as they're volunteering, and they are basically falling in love with girls. They have the opportunity, as the girls stabilize, to take them to movies. They actually can do outings overnight at their homes after a certain period of time, and depending on the child's trauma symptoms. And as our treatment team continues to evaluate her, our goal is to put her with what we call a Courage family, a family that has been trained in that therapeutic family model. But instead of sticking this child with a complete stranger, or a family getting a complete stranger, this relationship has been built over 12, 18, and sometimes 24 months, where a family has fallen madly in love with a girl, and the girl's fallen madly in love with the family. They've been building relationship. They've been going on outings. They spent time in each other's homes. They know the therapist. We even involve them in some of the therapy, parenting classes for this kid. So by the time the child is ready to transition, this relationship is stable, and both parties are ready and are going to succeed. The other thing, that when this child moves into a Courage family, the family still gets the relationship with us, the organization Courage Worldwide. They still get the child still has the same therapist. They have the opportunity to still come to Courage House and to ride horses and be a part of the equine therapy. They have the relationships with their mentors and with each other and staff and their youth groups. And so it's not so traumatic when this transition happens. It's still certainly not something that's particularly easy for our kids. No change is. But it, at least they have been prepared for the transition in the best way possible, and they have a family that they already know. And so we are seeing that success just increase. So we believe in this model that has a group living environment, if you will, with intense mental health treatment, with at the same time transitioning girls into therapeutic foster families after there's been this stabilization phase. And so that's the model we're working with. That's the model that we're excited about, and have just seen the greatest results. We have 50 acres in Northern California where we have one cottage with six girls, and we have the ability to build 9 other cottages on that property. When I say cottage, it's a 2,900 square foot home. It is a house and a home. The girls actually got to speak into the architecture and the plans and that design, and they love just having 6 in a home where they feel like a small family. So we'll never be institutionalized care. That's not what we're a proponent of. But instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater on group home care, we are doing it in a different way, and doing it a way that we're having great success. And part of that was that minimum stay of a year. And the other part of that is hiring educated, trained, incredible staff members and paying them at a wage that's truly unheard of in the United States for group homes. If we are going to hire the type of people that we need, the caliber of people these kids require, then we're going to have to pay them. And so for us, we are able to tap into some funds within the foster care system for these girls, but a third of our funding comes from public funding, and then a third of it comes from the community and our just donors, and a third comes from events and a business model that we have with the cafe and a merchandise line, so that we're diversifying our funding. It's a very expensive model on the front end. Here's an analogy I give people, because people ask me all the time, gosh, it's so much money for just these 6 kids. Is it worth it? And I say, yes, it's worth it. It's a front end investment, but it is going to pay dividends forever. I believe, because of our experience and what we've seen, if we put children straight into foster homes, we are going to double or triple the runaway population in this country. There are already over 1 million runaways in the United States. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of children that we believe are being trafficked. If we put them straight into foster homes, into families, well-meaning families — I'm not even talking about the families who may take advantage of these kids, but I'm talking about well-meaning families who can't take care of them, provide their needs — these kids run. Fight or flight is a part of the trauma and the symptoms. If we don't address that, we are going to increase the runaway population in this nation, I believe, 2- and 3-fold, if we don't figure out how to do this right. Yes, it's expensive on the front end, but every time you add another home, another cottage, those expenses go down, because you don't have to continue hiring another therapist, another case manager, another executive director, because they can take on that load, and you begin to push that number down. But here's the scary thing. We're going to pay for it one way or the other. We can either front load it and see kids' lives change, see them totally and completely restored, see them have the ability to turn what amounts to no grade point average into a 4.0, which we have that happening at Courage House. They have no GPA when they come, and once you start all this very intentional therapy, they then have the ability to learn, to retain knowledge, and to mainstream into school. When you're doing this with these kids and their lives change, they now have opportunities that they've never had before, with jobs and careers, and they're making different choices that don't end them up in jail or dependent upon the system for the rest of their life. We're just front loading it. We all get so excited when we hear a trafficker taken off the streets, and with our new laws getting put away for 10, 15, or 20 years, we all celebrate that, but we're not thinking about or talking about the cost that we are investing in taking care of that trafficker. In prison, we are paying for his room, his board, if he wants an education, if he needs medical, dental. We're taking care of all that for 10, 15, and 20 years. And what I'm proposing with these children is that we at least invest that much in the first 2 years of their trauma, and then they will become independent, self-sustaining, contributing members of society who have a passion to see other kids rescued. Because we've been doing this for 4 years, we now have seen that result. We have girls who are on college campuses, who have the first in their families to graduate from high school, who don't go back to prostitution or to bad relationships, who have put up healthy boundaries with their biological families and don't allow them to manipulate them anymore. The things that we hear about these kids, they always run, they always fight, they'll always be this way, they'll always go back to their bio families, is just not true with this model of care that we have been developing and are such a proponent of. I am so excited to be able to talk to you today about my passion. I guess you can tell I am a little bit passionate about this subject. And I am because I hurt children. I hurt two young girls. They were 18 and 23 at the time when I met them and called them family and called them daughters and brought them into our home. And I wasn't able to be and do everything that they needed me to. I physically, emotionally, mentally could not do that. And that still makes me feel very, very bad. And I don't want other children to be hurt. And I don't want other families to be hurt, thinking that this is easy and that we can just give them enough training and that they'll be able to take care of this kid. Nobody wants to give a child back. And that's the worst thing that could happen to these children. And I believe if we don't have a continuum of care that has a piece for stabilization and long-term care from 12 to 18 to 24 months, we are going to fail these children, we are going to hurt families, and we are going to increase the runaway population in the United States.
Thank you for listening. Learn how to subscribe to our Groundwork series by visiting our website at www.thesamaritanwomen.org.